Hallelujah. Let's stay together. Come on. The main thing is to keep the main thing. The main thing. Let's try that a wee bit harder this time. The main thing is to keep the main thing. The main thing. So this is part three of this current series. Amen. Luke chapter 4, verses 18 to 19. Jesus says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty," or to preach deliverance to the captives. Let me just throw in here, if you're reading maybe from an NIV or from some other version that has been translated from certain manuscripts, they won't have in there what's actually there in Isaiah chapter 60, which is what Jesus was reading from, and you might think, where did he get this "sent me to heal the brokenhearted" business? But you need to understand, if that's missing, maybe you need to, if you've got an NIV, nothing against the NIV per se, but I would write that in, because if you miss that point, I believe you miss everything. Because if you miss that, you've missed a very crucial step, and it's very difficult, and we'll look at that more as we go on in this through the weeks. But it's impossible to bring that, or to preach deliverance to the captives, unless, first of all, their broken heart is healed, and we'll see that more. We won't look at that necessarily today, but we'll look at that more, as I said, maybe the next week or so. But you need to understand that he has sent me, he said, to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim or to preach deliverance to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, those who are downtrodden, bruised, crushed, broken down by calamity, it says in the Amplified version, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, or as it goes on to say in the Amplified, the day when God's free favors of God profusely abound. I got too much of that wine this morning, but anyway, hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. But we recognize this is Jesus' mission statement. This is his mission statement. A mission statement apparently is a formal written statement or summary of the purpose, the aims, and the values of a company, organization, or individual. So Jesus was bringing to us his mission statement. Apparently a mission statement focuses on the present state, whereas a vision statement focuses on the future state of a company, organization, or individual. And so I believe if that's his mission statement, as we've said over the last couple of weeks, then I believe Jesus' vision statement would be that most incredible. In fact, I believe the greatest faith statement of all time was uttered when Jesus said, "I will build my church." I mean, you got to acknowledge that when you look around and see the state of the church a lot of the time, you know what I'm saying? He said, "I will build my church." But he didn't just say that. I mean, if he just said, "I'll build my church," then we could be looking for some ramshackle old thing somewhere, you know what I mean? And we'd be singing, "Just give me a cabin in the corner of glory land," and all that good stuff. And you know what I'm saying? But it's like, he didn't say that. He didn't stop there. He said, "I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it." And I believe that is the most incredible and maybe the greatest faith statement of all time. Hallelujah. Amen. So Jesus is building his church. He's building that victorious, prevailing, overcoming church. And I believe he's building that church through those who recognize that their freedom and their purpose is embodied in the outworking of his mission statement. Amen. And if we're going to be part of what he is doing and part of the church that he is building, we need to adopt his mission statement. We need to acknowledge his mission statement, and we need to understand that the mission statement is the main thing. The main thing is to keep the main thing the main thing. And as we recognized last week, within that mission statement, then you have to say, well, what's the main thing within the mission statement? And we recognize the main thing is the Spirit of the Lord. Who knows, you can't have church without the Holy Spirit. You can be a congregation of people. You could be a religious club. You can be a religious organization, but you cannot be the church without the presence of the Holy Spirit. And tragically, a lot of the time, the church has tried to sideline the Holy Spirit, or somewhere else he's just disappeared. And people recognize that he exists, but as far as having church and doing it according to the way he would lead us to do it, then you can forget that. But it's impossible to be the church or to have church or to be the church that he is building without the Holy Spirit. The main thing within Jesus' mission statement is the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Why? Because the Holy Spirit, has anointed me. Because he, the Holy Spirit, has sent me to heal the brokenhearted and so on and so on. Glory to God. Amen. See, the Holy Spirit Who knows that Jesus right now is seated at the right hand of the Father. The Father is on his throne in heaven right now. And Jesus, the Son of God, God the Son is right there. God the Father is on his throne, and God the Son, Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, is seated right there beside him at his right hand. And the Holy Spirit is the only member of the Trinity, the only member of the Godhead that is on the earth right now. Now, Jesus said when the Holy Spirit comes, we read it in John chapter 14, he said, the Father and I will come with him. But the Holy Spirit is the member of the Godhead who is in the earth right now. If you think you can have church without him, you can have a religious service, you can acknowledge the Father, you can acknowledge the Son, you can acknowledge, as I said, the existence of the Holy Spirit. But if the Holy Spirit is not right there, then you're having church without God. The Holy Spirit is the manifest presence of God in the earth. And he is love manifested in the earth. And that love cannot see sin, it cannot see bondage, it cannot see sickness, it cannot see oppression, it cannot see poverty, cannot see any of these things and ignore them. Without longing to do something about them, to bring change in these circumstances. That's covenant. You see, Jesus said the Spirit of the Lord, L-O-R-D, capitalized, that's God's covenant name. Yahweh, Jehovah, that's his covenant name. And he's promised, Jesus said, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. God has established a covenant with us. He cannot see any of these things. And Jesus said that he came not just to reach a select group of people, but to reach the whole world. God so loved the world. He didn't come to bring condemnation and judgment upon men. He came to save them, to heal them, to deliver them. You cannot separate healing and deliverance from salvation. It's part of the one word. The Greek word just contains all of these things. It also contains prosperity and everything else. That's why Jesus began. We're not going there this morning, but he began by saying, I've come to preach good news to the poor. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit is the manifest presence of God in the earth. He is love manifest. He cannot see the things that are going on out there, all of the destruction that the enemy has wrought in the earth. He cannot see these things without purposing to do something about them. That's why he came. Hallelujah. The main thing is to keep the main thing. Last time we recognized that religious spirits, I mean, let's remind ourselves, let's go to John 14. This is a scripture, man, most of us will know this. Some of us have adopted this as our mission statement. Probably. John chapter 14 and verse 12, Jesus says, most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. And of course, he goes on later on to say that when he goes to the Father, when he sits down at the Father's right hand, he's going to pray the Father, and says in verse 16, and he will give you another helper, or another comforter. In fact, the word there for helper could be translated comforter, counselor, intercessor, advocate. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And he's talking about the Holy Spirit. He said, I'll pray the Father, and he will send the Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you shall receive power. What power? They say, the Spirit of the Lord will come upon you. You shall receive power. What power? The power to do, to continue, to be a continuation of Jesus' life. Amen. To be an amplification of his message, to get his message out across the earth. To be an extension of his works. And Jesus is saying here, whatever the works that I do, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. And we recognize that last time that religious spirits have had a field day with people who've taken John 14:12, the works that I do, he will do also, and so on. They've taken it out of context. They've taken that text out of context, and they've ended up with a pretext. And a pretext is a reason that is given in justification of a course of action that is not the real reason. You see, why did you just run out and slap hands on that person in the middle of the street and tell them that Jesus was going to heal them? Well, I'll tell you why I did it, because Jesus said that I could do what he did. Oh, no, he didn't. That's not what he said. He didn't say that you could do what he did. He said, you can do what he's doing. I mean, I think I mentioned this the other night. But I was listening to Heidi Baker the other day, and she said this. She said that over there in Mozambique, where the Lord has called her, and they've just seen so many incredible and awesome and God things, and it's just phenomenal to hear the stuff that's going on. That there's so many people being raised from the dead, they just stopped counting. You know, you hear so-and-so, he's raised 4 people from the dead. Oh, glory, hallelujah. Well, that's really good, actually, pretty good going. But they've just stopped counting now. You see, because Jesus said in Matthew 10, he said, go out there, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead. Set the captives free, those who are oppressed by the devil, release them. But you don't just run out and try and do because he did it. You get involved in what he's doing, and he's doing the same things in the earth. Whatever the Holy Spirit has given, his preeminence as the main thing. The main thing. Because as I said before, well, are you focusing on the Holy Spirit? Well, the Holy Spirit never comes to speak about himself. He always points people to Jesus, and Jesus always points people to the Father. And so that just completes the package very nicely. Thank you very much. Hallelujah. Amen. Because God's heart is to reconcile us to himself as his children. But that can never happen without the Holy Spirit, who introduces you to Jesus, who introduces you to the Father. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. But he also said, when the Holy Spirit comes, he won't speak of himself. He will speak about Jesus. Hallelujah. That he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, he said, because they do not believe in me. Of righteousness, because they see me no more. You see me no more. And of judgment, because this is the best news of all. Glory to God. The prince of this world has been judged. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Jesus didn't say you'll do what he did. He said you'll do what I am doing. Let me go back up a little bit. Heidi Baker, she said this. She said she was walking down the road one day, very recently, and she said the smell just kind of accosted her nostrils. Now, there's lots of different smells in certain countries anyhow. If some of us arrived there, we probably would be going around with her hand over her nose for at least a few days before we became accustomed to them. But she said it's just this awful smell that she knew. It's the smell of putrefying flesh. There's nothing worse smell than that, I'll tell you. Glory to God. I visited the body farm in Tennessee, man, and I tell you, sometimes I think there's a wee hair up my nose that's still got a bit of that smell on it. And it's like, and she said, she looked and she just knew it was that smell of leprosy. But she didn't say, oh, well, cleanse the lepers, run over, slap hands, oh, be healed in Jesus' name. No, she waited. And the reason I'm sharing this is because this is what God has been teaching us over these months, isn't it? That it's not about just doing what he did. It's not about just repeating what he said. It's about hearing what he's saying and bringing fresh what he is saying. He's still saying what he said. But there's a major difference in just repeating what he said and bringing what he is saying. That's a prophetic. It's a prophetic that's missing. The prophetic had been missing for 400 years in Israel, and the religion was carrying on as usual. And those who thought that they were running the religion didn't recognize the Son of God when he came and tried to and actually killed him. From the moment they met him, murder and hatred rose up in their heart, and their plans were to find a way of destroying him and removing him from the scene. Who did that? The religious organization that existed when there was no prophetic word coming from the Lord. What he is saying, not just what he said, but what he is saying, not just what he did, but what he is doing. You can go to Bible college and they'll teach you what he said. I'm not saying that might not help you a little bit, but if that doesn't get converted into what he is saying, then it'll never do you. Jesus said it to the Pharisees. He said, you'll go to the ends of the earth to make one convert, one disciple, one proselyte, and then you'll turn them into twice the child of hell that you are yourself. That's a pretty radically bad statement, by the way. That's strong medicine, that is. So anyway, Heidi Baker, smell in her nose. She recognized the smell of leprosy. She waits. What is the Holy Spirit? The heart of compassion that God has birthed within her begins to kick in. There's something that the Spirit of God has said, I can't pass this leper by and not do something. Some things are better not say, thank you, Lord. Anyway, so, I had a fleeting thought, but I'll spare you, all right. Hallelujah. If I get a release on it later, I might bring it. But anyway, I think we'll pass on from here. But anyway, and she waited, and the Holy Spirit said this to her. The Spirit of the Lord who is upon her said this. Go and grab him by the hand. She went over and she grabbed him by the hand and she stuck her hand into this mess of gooey, yucky, dead, putrefying, decaying flesh. And then the Holy Spirit said this, now jump on his foot as hard as you can. And so she pulled back her leg and she jumped on his foot and he let out a blood-curdling scream. Now if you know anything about leprosy, you know that they can't feel anything. And he was instantly healed. That's what happens when you're doing, getting involved in doing what the Lord is doing. The same works that I do, he said, you will do also. I'm bringing you in on this. You've got the job. Here's your uniform, the Spirit of the Lord. Don't ever go out and try and do the job without the uniform. Come on, I already shared that many times about that traffic warden going to God, stepping out in the middle of the street and the traffic grinding to a halt. If he didn't have his uniform on, he'd be dead meat. He'd be roadkill. And a lot of the people of God, and it's not because they don't have a heart, and it's not because they don't have a desire to do what Jesus did, but Jesus didn't say they would do what he did. And that's the problem. And a lot of them end up roadkill. Come on, a lot of missionaries go in the last 5 minutes and they're back again. They spent 2 years, 3 years preparing to go. Oh, God's called me here, God's called me there. Blah, blah, blah. They get out there, they've been there 5 minutes and they're back home. I'm not saying the call wasn't even a genuine call. But some, there was a lack of preparation. And the preparation you must have is you must have the uniform. Because if you're the Spirit of the Lord is upon you, you can go through anything and come out the other side with a shout. Hallelujah. Not a whimper. Come on. Blessed be the name of the Lord. If the Spirit of the Lord is upon you, then you are led by him, not driven by religious spirits. You always know it's a religious spirit when you feel driven. Who knows what I'm talking about? You ever feel that drivenness? I've heard people pull me, well, you said we're going to, let's go do it then. Yeah. I said, well, go when the Lord says, go. We looked at this over Wednesday night, Friday night, how the presence of God is everything. How God showed up in his old, with his old covenant people after he brought them out of Egypt, after he delivered them out of Egypt, which is a type of our salvation. And his presence was with them as a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. And we looked into these things, and it's not talking about candy floss, a wee candy floss cloud, a wee fluffy presence of God, you know, nice and cozy, dry, you know what I'm saying? It was the word there for cloud is a word that speaks about thunderclouds. When these thunderclouds begin to roll, and you know there's a sense in a change in the atmosphere, you know something's about to break loose, something's about to happen. And the fire is the Hebrew word for fire is translated lightning. It's a word for lightning. It's power. It's God shows up. It's not a wee sparkler that you go out and go, oh, you and your, this little light of mine, I'm going to let that shine. Whoa, man, power! Say power, bro.
Power!
I love your advocate say that word, man. say fire.
Oh, fire!
Yeah, see, there's just a certain way of fire. Power, fire. Fire power. Come on. Romans chapter 8 says this, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. They're the manifestation of the Son of God. Hallelujah. People begin to recognize them for who they are. They're manifested, and the scripture tells us the Son of God was manifested to destroy the works of the devil. And that's what we're, when the Spirit of the Lord comes upon us, we're sent out to destroy the works of the devil, to bring people out from under these wicked works into the kingdom of God, where they can experience righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Let's just remind ourselves what it says in Luke chapter 4. And we move on. Hallelujah. Are you getting some teaching this morning? Anybody hungry?
Hungry.
Hallelujah. Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. And so on. In order to properly understand that mission statement, the preaching of good news, because he goes on and he says, he sent me to preach. Say preach. To preach the gospel to the poor. To preach deliverance to the captives. In order to understand that this mission statement concerning the preaching of good news, and I believe we have to back up a little bit. Let's go back into Luke chapter 3. Hallelujah. In fact, Luke chapter 3 and verse 21. It says, when all the people were baptized, isn't it awesome? All the people were baptized. Hallelujah. Not just some of the ones, not just the Baptist charismatic brethren, Pentecostal ones. Amen. Glory to God. When all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also was baptized, and while he prayed, the heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended in bodily form like a dove upon him. And a voice came from heaven which said, you are my beloved Son, in you I am well pleased. Now Jesus himself began his ministry at about 30 years of age. You need to take hold of what he just heard there. Because I want you to understand, he is saying the same thing to you this morning. If you're born again, if you're a child of God, if your life is in Christ this morning, he's saying the same thing to you. He's saying, you are my, sorry ladies, but he's saying, you are my beloved Son. And in you, I am well pleased. If you can't receive that, then you ain't going anywhere in this. You're stuck there. You have to believe that. You must believe that. You've got a job. He's well pleased. He liked your CV. He liked the way you turned out for the interview. He recognized you have a great, good submissive nature. You know how to take orders. You know how to receive direction. Hallelujah. You know how to submit to authority. You understand authority. You have an understanding of authority. Kingdom authority. Not some authoritarian goof up there acting as a dictator. I'm talking about the authority that comes from the throne. Not talking about some of that witchcraft mess that rolls into the church as a substitute for the Holy Spirit. I'm not talking about witchcraft spirits in the church. We're talking about the Holy Spirit and his authority. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You've got a job. Now, just put on the uniform. Just put on the uniform. Turn to Hebrews chapter 4. You listen up now. Come on, if you're falling asleep, this is getting boring. Just hang in there. Hallelujah. Hebrews chapter 4. I'll have to try that again. That worked. Hallelujah. Hebrews chapter 4. Glory to God. Hebrews chapter 4. Hallelujah. That's only since the last time I prayed for him, he got my anointing. For snoring, that is. Bless God. Hallelujah. Hebrews chapter 4. And verse 1. Therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it. For indeed, the gospel was preached to us as well as to them, but the word which they heard did not profit them. Please don't come here this morning and hear a word that doesn't profit you. This word is to profit you. It's to add to you. It's to bring something to you that makes you leave here increased. Hallelujah. Glory to God. But the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. For we who have believed do enter that rest, as he has said, glory to God. We who have believed have entered that rest. We enter the rest when we simply believe. And the first statement you need to believe is what he's speaking over you this morning. You are my beloved child. You are my beloved son. In you, I am well pleased. Verse 7, second part of verse 7 says this. Today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. There's a lot of influences out there that would seek to shut you down so you cannot hear what has been said. There are a lot of religious spirits that want to suck you out from that complete dependence upon the Holy Spirit. Maybe you've been programmed in different ways from different religious influences in your life. And so you're programmed to just boom. You know, if you heard a Jehovah's Witness or a Mormon at your door, if you really get into the Word with them, you discover they don't really know that much Word. They've been programmed with a certain amount, and they've been programmed to deflect everything that you bring to them of truth. And you need to understand, a lot of Christians have been programmed in a similar way, and because of maybe where they came from, maybe the system that they grew up in. I had to deal with many of these things and a lot of that stuff over the years in my own life. So I'm not ranting, saying not be a rant, and I know what I'm talking about. I'm not saying it's over yet. I still discover, you know, you think you're free, but hallelujah, glory to God. Every last bit of religion's gone, and next thing it's like, what's that? That can't be God. It's like, he's got you better, you know. Again. You have to repent again. Repent is a wonderful thing. It's a joy. It's a joy. Look at his smile. He repents every day. Look at his smile on his face. That's why he's always so happy. He just gets up and says, Lord, sorry about yesterday, but let's do it right today. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank God. The sun came up again. Hallelujah. The sun of righteousness arises with healing in his wings. Amen. Today, if you will hear his voice, do not. Well, he's not speaking about what he said. He's speaking today. Now, this is today. This is what he's saying today. Today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. In verse 9, I mean, I'd like to read the whole thing, but I'm just trying to jump ahead a little bit here. Verse 9, there remains therefore a rest for the people of God. For he who has entered his rest has himself also ceased from his works as God did from his. Let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience, speaking about those who came out of Egypt. For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. In other words, he came through every test victorious. He passed every test A+, 100%. Boom. Probably 150 or something. But anyway, glory to God. Hallelujah. We do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but he was in all points tempted or tested as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy. Mercy is what you need when you blow it, when you've blown it, when you got it wrong again. And he says you can come boldly and receive that mercy. And grace is what he gives you to help you not to fail again. It's his supernatural power, his strength upon you, within you, to strengthen that weak place so that you can leave your sin behind and leave your habitual sin behind and your continual failures behind. Glory to God. But there's mercy for failure. When the righteous falls 7 times, he will arise. Arise from where? Arise from the place of failure and go back to the only place he can go, to the throne room of God, where he has access, where he has an entrance forever. The door's been thrown open and it's never going to be closed to you if you're a child of God. Jesus gave us that incredible picture with the prodigal son. He was just looking to come in the back door, to come in through the servant's entrance, and the father ran out to meet him to make sure that he brought him through the front door. Hallelujah. Come on. Blessed. The front door's been thrown open and it'll never be shut. You'll never have to find another way in. In fact, there is no other way in. We follow the same path that our high priest took. Glory to God. He says, I am the way. You just follow my route. I broke through the heavens. Glory to God. And you just follow. You just come in my slipstream and you'll be all right. Hallelujah. And you'll always find an entrance, and you'll never find condemnation in that place. Just mercy and grace. Say mercy and grace. Mercy and grace. Come on, the law came through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Grace and truth. Grace and truth. Grace and truth. The law is the ministry of condemnation. That's what the word, that's what the word of God calls it. You, are you blessed this morning? You're delivered from the law. You're not under law, but you're under grace. Hallelujah. Let us therefore come boldly. See, the rest of faith. What is faith? Faith is simply believing what God says. He says, you're my beloved son. In you I am well pleased. You must believe that. Those who come to God must believe that he is. And as we've heard already, we beg you this morning, he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Hallelujah. But you must believe that he is who he says he is. That he is your father. And that he's declaring over you, you are my beloved son. And in you I am well pleased. You're qualified. I've qualified you to receive my spirit, to take the spirit of the Lord upon you. To be a continuation of Jesus' life. To be conformed to the image of Jesus. To go out there as Jesus into the world. Not to try and replicate what he did, to copycat what he did, but to become involved in what he is doing. Because we are the body. We are the body. He is the head, but we are the body, and we need to become connected again because there's been a quadriplegic dilemma as far as the body of Christ is concerned. The head is sending out all the right messages, but the body has been paralyzed because it's been disconnected, because the only connection between the body and the head is the Holy Spirit. Only, no other connection. You can roll in 100,000 other substitutes and you'll try them all, but there's only one connection between the head and the body, and that's the Holy Spirit. The body of Christ needs to come out of its wheelchair before anybody else does. Come on. Stir up that gift on the inside of you. Hallelujah. Faith is simply believing what God says. Let's go back to Luke chapter 3. I say we're going to have to back up a little bit. Luke chapter 3. See what happens after he hears this declaration? It says that the Holy Spirit, he was led in chapter 4, because from verse 23 of Luke 3, it basically gives a genealogy of Jesus, and then in chapter 4, it's a continuation of verse 23, really. It says, then Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, chapter 4, verse 1, of the Gospel of Luke, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Let me understand, he was led and not driven. It's important we recognize that. He was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being tempted or tested, that would be better translated actually, tested for 40 days by the devil. And in those days he ate nothing, and afterwards when they had ended, he was hungry. He understands, well, there's no test, there will never be a testimony. Well, there's no test, there will never be a testimony. And you just hold that thought for a few minutes. He was led by the Holy Spirit into a time of testing. I don't know about you, but I always thought about Jesus really struggling against temptation in this time of testing. You ever? Because religion kind of does that to you. Everything's a struggle. You know, you get these pictures of Jesus and he's going, but it doesn't tell us that at all. In fact, everything else in the book, if you put it all together, would tell us probably a very different story. The one time when Jesus really struggled, and when it says that he had to resist to the point where his sweat became drops of blood, was when he was beginning to take on that role change, where he was going to lay down his authority in the realm of the Spirit and begin to take on the sin, our mess, our junk, our baggage, our garbage. Not just me and you, but the whole world. And at that point, things begin to change. At that point, he even begins to lose sight of God as his father. It's still in the garden. He's still saying, Abba, 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 Abba. Then he's on the cross and it's, my God, my God. That's what happens when you begin to lose sight of who you are. But he deliberately did that. He did that for us. He was willing. He could not take his life. He had to lay it down. And he began to lay down all of the privileges and all of everything, all of the power and the authority that he had walked in the earth as a man with the Spirit of the Lord upon him. And Abba was gone, and now it was back to my God, my God, my God. How many Christians have lived all of their Christian lives saying, my God, my God, my God, my God, and never got the revelation of Abba? And we'll look at this maybe the next time. It's the very first thing that the Holy Spirit establishes in your life is Abba, Father. Very first thing he does when he comes is he brings that revelation to you of who you are, what he's declaring over your life. I've been struggling. I was just back in this area saying, Lord, I need some fresh revelation on that. 40 years he hasn't eaten. He's been fasting 40 days. I mean, some people, they fast 3 days and they have to tell everybody, you know. Come on. Anyway, never mind that. Hallelujah. That's our fleeting thought. I probably shouldn't have out my mouth. But anyhow, glory to God. I wasn't quick enough to catch that one. Remember, this is the Spirit of the coach and not the critic, you understand. Hallelujah. No condemnation in here this morning. Amen. Because the Spirit of the Lord is here, and where he is, there is no condemnation. Hallelujah. Amen. Jesus. Hallelujah. So, hallelujah. Jesus being filled with the Holy Spirit. Being filled with the Holy Spirit. Say, being filled with the Holy Spirit. Filled with who? Say, the Holy Spirit. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. So what happens? He has an encounter. After the 40 days has ended, it says he was hungry. Hunger is a legitimate human need and desire. Amen? How many people have legitimate needs and desires, and as soon as they have them, they allow the enemy to bring condemnation to them? And we could go off on that one on a big rabbit trail. Hallelujah. We'll save that for another day. But there's many legitimate, God-given desires. I mean, how many Christian marriages have fallen apart because they could never get a grip on the legitimate need for sex? Within God's safe place, the only safe sex is marriage, you understand? This is a fleet of thought that I caught, and I'm bringing it anyhow. Because it needs to be said, and it needs to be heard. Marriage is honorable in all things, and the bed is undefiled. Oh, I had a thought. I've counseled many people over the years. I had a wicked thought. What was that? Any children in the room? Well, I had a thought about doing this with my wife. I said, well, that's okay. What do you mean it's okay? I said, that's fine. You can do that. I can. I said, yeah, you can. If you can convince your wife about it. Maybe she need to come and see me first. Cracking sex manual, right slap bang in the middle of this book, amen. It's called the Song of Solomon. And once you get rid of the Holy Spirit out of the church, you start turning that into all kinds of spiritualization. God made us. He gave us a manual for living. Do you think he was going to leave sex out of that? Don't be ridiculous. He gave you. You were born with that legitimate need, but it can only be satisfied in the lawful place, in the right place, in the God-ordained place. Everything else is so powerful, it's dangerous outside of that. Out of this God-given environment. Amen. Is that okay? Hallelujah. You happy with that, coach? Amen. I don't know many people who've spent years in torment and condemnation, missed everything that God had for them because they thought they were having wicked thoughts about their own wives and their own husbands. That's what religion can make of it. That's how much of a mess religion can make of everything. And as soon as you yield to that condemnation and to that guilt and to that shame, it just takes you down into that awful, ugly place, into depression, If anybody wants to know what's okay and what's not okay, well, the Song of Solomon will tell you everything that's okay, if you let him. Amen? And the Holy Spirit will tell you everything that's not okay, if you let him. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. He had a legitimate need, and the devil said to him, straight in there, if you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread. And Jesus, well, three times the enemy comes in a subtle way to try and just remove Jesus from that possession, that place that the Father has set him in. Remove him from that truth of who he is, the beloved of God. Hallelujah. In whom the Father is well pleased. And three times Jesus just bats him off with what? With the word. I don't believe he's going, it is written, oh, man shall not live by bread alone, but by everywhere. Oh, God, oh, help me, I can't get this out. What was that scripture again? No, he was in the rest of faith. He was in the rest of faith. He was in the rest of faith. I said he was in the rest of faith. Faith comes by hearing. Hold fast your confession. Just speak out. With the heart, man believes unto righteousness. With the mouth, confession is made unto salvation, healing, deliverance. He said it's written. I believe he was probably maybe even laughing when he said it. You clown. What kind of idiot are you anyway? It's written. I'm going to step out of what is written. I'm going to cut off my lifeline just for the sake of, because I feel a bit hungry today. I mean, if you hang in there, you discover later on that angels come and minister to you. You get served up with some angel food. Glory to God. Hallelujah. He was in the rest of faith. You see, no test, no testimony. You see, you need to understand, folks, we are fully armed. We have a nuclear deterrent. It is written. James 4 verse 7 says, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. Glory to God. All these people, in the natural, all these people that want to get rid of all of our nuclear weapons are lunatics. Every one of them. But anyway, that's another thought I shouldn't have let out, but it came out anyway. They're nutcases. Nuclear, in the natural, in the physical world, nuclear deterrents work. And you can start getting rid of that stuff, and you just... Well, anyway, and I'll tell you, I've seen it with Christians. You know, you tell them you are fully armed. You have everything that you need to tell that devil to hike, and they go, oh no, no, no. And they have campaigns against it. I mean, I came across one of these ugly, horrible videos again the other day when I was looking for something online, and one of these videos, and all of a sudden it rolls down all of the names. These are the Antichrist spirit preachers, blah blah blah. And I thought, how come every time I listen to one of them, I get really, my spirit gets fed, and then this guy's telling me that they're all that one. They're trying to remove the nuclear deterrent. They're trying to steal that word of faith out of people's hearts so the enemy can come in and steal, kill, and destroy. What a bunch of nutcases. Come on. I'm reading to the names of things. Every time I've listened to that guy, I felt not my soul getting tickled, not more condemnation, but I felt my spirit getting fed. I thought, so I just clicked that button and glory to God, let's move on out of here. I don't need to hear what he's got to say. Amen. My spirit getting fed. When's the last time was your spirit getting fed this morning? I should ask a question last about it, don't you? Is your spirit getting fed this morning? Is it your spirit that's getting fed? So I didn't come here to hook your soul. I didn't come here to hook your soul. I came with a word that I believe God says can engage with your spirit if you'll just, today, if you will hear his voice. You might not like me very much. You might not like the way I speak or the way I look or anything else. Glory to God. But just, if you'll just hear his voice. And I said, you'll leave increased this morning. See, Jesus said, come unto me, all you that labor heavily. What did he do? He promised us rest. Rest for our souls. I said, we'll look at that in more detail maybe next time. But you need to understand, Jesus came out of this time of testing with a testimony. He began immediately to preach and to proclaim. What was he proclaiming? That the Word of God, connected with the Holy Spirit, is more than sufficient to resist the devil in your life, whatever area of your life he attacks, spirit, soul, or body. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The Word and the Holy Spirit together are more than sufficient. That was a testimony he came out with. He was excited. He goes back to his local church where he knows people have been sick and dying before their time for years, where he knows that chaos has been the name of the game, that families have been breaking down and all that stuff. And he gets handed the scroll of Isaiah, and he opens it up, and he's excited. He's saying, come on, get a grip on this. The Spirit of the Lord is upon him, because he, and then he goes on, today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. And he closed the book. And everybody went, hooray, this is wonderful. Let's get a prayer line. Kill him. Kill him. Who does he think he is? Walking in here with that stuff. He knew who he was. Do you know who you are? Do you know who you are? Do you know that you are his beloved son in whom he is well pleased? Because when you have that down on the inside of you, you'll do what Jesus did. You'll just walk out through him. You won't stop to argue your case. You won't take them to court for all kinds of slander and everything else. No, you'll just walk out and carry on. He walks out and he carries on. We'll get that if we get there. No, time is marching on. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. See, the Holy Spirit, God's manifest presence with us, is what makes the word effective in our lives. His love manifested in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 6 in the Amplified Bible. It says in the New King James, it says that faith working through love. And it says in Galatians 5, 6 in the Amplified, it says that faith is energized and made effective and put to work by love, or by the presence of love, by the presence of the Holy Spirit. Romans 5, 5, it says the Holy Spirit is poured out into our hearts. The love of God, sorry, is poured out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom he has given to us. He's the manifest presence of God. He's love walking around. Glory to God. See, the rest that Jesus promised us is resting in his presence. We don't have to try and strive to do anything, because he's there to do it through us. He's the one who's going to do it. We're just partners in it. Hallelujah. The rest of faith is where we know that the power of the Lord is present to save and to heal and to deliver. His presence and our confession of faith, our speaking out his word, that's what drives out the enemy and ushers us into the fullness of his provision and the fulfillment of his promises every time in our lives and in the lives of others. Glory to God. Amen. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Just try and wind this up. You know, when Jesus showed up with the Spirit of the Lord upon him, any manifestation of darkness, wherever he went, and this is what we've been talking about over the last while, you see, is that where the Holy Spirit is, healing is, and deliverance is, and you don't have to try and go hunting down devils, and you don't have to beat the air and spiritual warfare and all that kind of stuff, junk. Glory to God that the church just rolled in to try and take the presence, to replace the presence of God. The presence of God does all that. When he shows up, the devil, there's no hiding place anymore. Let me just show you that from Romans, from Luke chapter 4, where we've been, very quickly. It says that he passed through the midst of them, he went his way, and then he went down in verse 31 to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and was teaching them on the Sabbath, and they were astonished at his teaching, for his word, say his word. His word was with authority. What brought authority to that word? The Holy Spirit did. Now in the synagogue there was a man who had a spirit of an unclean demon. He'd been showing up in church maybe for years, but he had a spirit of an unclean demon. And when Jesus showed up, when the presence of God rolled in, when the Spirit of the Lord came, he cried out with a loud voice. Nobody had to pinpoint or anything. He just cried and saying, let us alone. What are we to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? Did you come to destroy us? I know who you are. Devil knows who he is, all right. I know who you are. The devil knows who you are. Do you know who you are? He says, I know who you are, the Holy One of God. But Jesus rebuked him, saying, be quiet and come out of him. And when the demon had thrown him in their midst, it came out of him and did not hurt him. Then they were all amazed and spoke among themselves. Listen to what they said, saying, what a word. Say a word. What a word is this? For with authority and power he commands the unclean spirits, and they come out. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The main thing is the Holy Spirit, God's manifest presence upon us, his word in our heart, in our mouths. Glory to God. Let's stand up together. Hallelujah. See, God gave me a revelation on this the other night as I was speaking about the presence of God, the manifest presence of God, the glory of God, that the wrestling, we were going to go and read from Ephesians chapter 6 today, but somehow I got lost in translation, I think, somewhere. But you know, it talks about how we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. So a lot of the times we've locked ourselves into this wrestling match. We've engaged the enemy, because that's what he wants. He wants to take us out of the rest of faith to engage us, because he knows if he can engage us, then he's got a chance of winning against us. The only place of victory is the breast of faith. And this is what the Lord spoke through me the other night, and I just got it, and it's just stayed with me, and it's coming out over and over and over again. The wrestling is in the resting. You'll even find resting in wrestling if you're a wordsmith. Amen. You only have to remove three letters, you got it. Amen. Hallelujah. The wrestling is in the resting. Jesus went into that encounter with the devil not to engage him in a wrestling match, but in the rest of faith. And he batted every attempt of the enemy to come and find an inroad into his life. Spirit of the Lord upon us. You need to understand this. It's sufficient to lead us into all the places and situations where the presence of the Lord, the manifestation of love, will destroy the works of the devil. Are you into some of that? I want to tell you, before you leave this morning, I just want you to hear this again. Today, if you'll hear his voice, a voice from heaven is speaking over you this morning, and it is declaring this. You are my beloved child, in whom I am well pleased. I am well pleased with you. You've got the job. You're already qualified. Now, will you put on the uniform? I'm about to drop the uniform on you. Will you put it on? Put on the full armor of God. His name is the Holy Spirit. You cannot make it without him. Don't engage in wrestling. Just stay resting. Are you hearing his voice today? Are you hearing his invitation to come to him? To learn from him? Because that's his invitation. He says, come to me and learn from me. I'll give you rest. I'll show you how to stay in the place of rest. I'll always lead you by still waters. I am the Lord, your shepherd. I'll take you through the turbulent places, back to the places where the waters are stilled again. Because I am the Lord, your peace. I am Jehovah Shalom. I am the Lord, your peace. And I will speak peace into the troubled places. My peace will come and settle. And will bring calm where there has been storms. Where there has been torment. Where your mind has been ripped apart by demonic voices. And seeking to lead you and drive you out of the place of rest. But I will always lead you back to that place of rest. Can you hear it today? Hallelujah. Let's say it. The main thing is to keep the main thing. The main thing. The main thing you need to hear this morning is this. You are my beloved son. You are my beloved child. In you I am well pleased. You've got the job. You qualify. All you need to do now is put on the uniform. Let me lead you. And from today forward, things are going to be very different, not just in your own life, but in the lives of those you encounter. Because today I'm releasing you, the Lord says, to a new place. A new place of not trying to do what Jesus did, but becoming involved in what he is doing. Not just repeating verbatim what he said, but hearing what he is saying and bringing it fresh, bringing it as a word that carries the authority of heaven with it, against which no demonic force can stand, no sickness, no oppression, no poverty spirit can stand against that word that comes with kingdom authority, direct from the throne. Everything has to submit to that word. Everything must bow the knee and confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. All because we recognize that the Holy Spirit is the main thing. We must have his presence in our lives. We cannot make it without him. We cannot do this Christian business without him. He's the only one who connects the head with the body. Can you receive that today? Are you hearing his voice today? If that's messing with anything within you right now, if there's alarm bells going off from some source or other, I encourage you, just yield yourself to him, to the Holy Spirit. He's here right now. His presence is here right now, and he's here to help us. Jesus said, I'll give you another helper. Why? Because he knew we needed the help. Because he knew he needed the help. And he knew we would need the help. Much more than he ever did. He kind of started out at a better place than us. But today he's brought us up to his starting place. And he's saying, hear the voice of the Father. You are my son. You are my daughter. I'm pleased with you. I could never understand why the Lord would want to put his spirit in me. I will try to be somebody else. If I could be like Benny Hinn, or if I could be like this fellow or that fellow, maybe this, then the spirit would be on me and people would recognize that. No, he says, I'm putting it on you. The spirit of the Lord's on you. Just the way you are. I like you the way you are. I made you the way you are. I made you all different so it wouldn't get boring. I'm putting my spirit on you. You might not be a shouter, you might be a whisperer, but if his spirit comes on your whisper, it'll be powerful. If you're a shouter, he'll put his spirit on your shouting, and it'll be powerful. Glory to God. Come on, he'll put his spirit on you, whoever you are. Who are you? What kind of personality do you have? That spirit is coming on your personality. He's not coming to change your personality. He'll remove your character defects, but he won't mess with your personality. You don't have to try and be anybody else. You don't have to pretend. You don't have to put on a show. Just be who you are and recognize the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Most people I know couldn't listen to Heidi Baker for more than 3 minutes without switching her off if they were to go by some of the way that she acts and talks and stuff. But I've got to leave that off button alone because I want to hear what the Lord is doing. Hallelujah. Amen. I want to hear some encouragement of what the Lord is doing. Hallelujah. Come on. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Come on, just come into the rest. There's a rest for you. Will you come in? Just come in. Come on in. I used to hate, you know, our house was the only house that all the local kids got to come into when I was growing up. I would go to my friend's house and you know, and you'd knock the door and they'd come and say, is Jimmy coming out? I'll just, he'll be out in a minute, and he'd leave you on the doorstep, you know. But they loved coming out because when they came to our house and they knocked the door, if they knocked at all, they would hear, come on in. And you know, religion left us standing on the doorstep. Left us standing on the doorstep for years. Didn't tell us there was a way in to the fullness of everything that the Father has. He wants to take you in. He's going, come on. The first time I heard somebody say, the Father wants to take you and sit you on his knee, I thought, get out of here, Jimmy. But I thought, why not? Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. He said, let the little children come to me. And he picked them up and he blessed them. He said, this is what the Father's like. If you'll come in, maybe he'll pick you up and he'll bless you. He'll love on you. I know I don't know what that does to the religion that might be left in you, but if there's anything left in me, it shakes when I hear something like that. But it's the truth. It's the reality. It's the reality you've been looking for all of your life. Will you come into the rest? He's not leaving you on the doorstep anymore. He's saying, come on in. Come on in and rest. Come on in and rest. John the Apostle, he got that more than anybody else. He got as close to Jesus as he could. And he just, man, it says that he would even put his head up and just lean it on Jesus' chest. Hallelujah. Do you think that was a place of rest? Amen. At least that's what he's inviting you to come this morning. Just come on in. Glory to God. They reclined at the table. They weren't all sitting there rigidly in their religious pose, hoping that God would be able to break through their rigidity and touch them with something. They were reclining. They were resting in his presence. Hallelujah. Where there was no condemnation, no judgment. Main thing is the main thing, and the main we need to keep the main thing, and that's his presence, folks. He wants his presence to be not just with us, but in us and upon us. He wants us to be carriers of his presence wherever we go. So that, you know, Charles Finney would walk into a factory and people would begin to weep. Why? Because he carried the presence of the Lord. That's the only reason. It wasn't because Charles Finney was anything special. He wasn't any more special than the rest of us. We're all special. Hallelujah. God says, you're all special. You're all my special children. You're all my special people. Because of that, I want to put my spirit upon you. So that when you walk in somewhere and someone's broken and someone's life is messed up and someone has been caught up in all kinds of sin and wickedness and evil, then when my presence shows up, they'll begin to weep. They'll begin to realize that maybe they've missed it. Maybe they were wrong. Maybe there's a better way. Maybe there really is hope after all. Maybe change really can come. Maybe transformation is possible. Simply because the presence of God showed up. And if demons cry, you don't have to be afraid of that. The presence of the Lord will deal with these things. He will give you insight. He will lead you with the words to speak to bring freedom and to that person and healing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Thank you for the place of rest. Thank you, Father, for the place of rest. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for your presence here right now. Lead your people, I pray, Lord, into that place. Lead them into that place today, Lord, of rest. Never again to step out from that place. In every place of testing, to come out of that place of testing with a fresh testimony. All I needed is the Word and the Holy Spirit. I just saw the devil flee again. I just saw sickness rebound off my life again. I just saw the symptoms of sickness disappear out of my body because I recognized that the Spirit of the Lord and the Word were all that I needed to resist Him. Resist Him steadfast in the faith, in the rest of faith. You see, rest is also in resist. In fact, rest is... You mess with these layers a little bit. Rest is... resisting is the rest. And you rest, you resist from rest. And everything that you don't resist, you will become. But everything you do resist, you will overcome. If you don't resist sickness, you'll become sick. If you don't resist sin, you'll become a sinner. If you don't resist oppression, you'll become oppressed and depressed. But if you do resist sickness, you will overcome sickness. And if you do resist sin, you will overcome sin. If you do resist oppression, you will overcome that oppression. Where? How do you resist? From the place of rest. It is written. It is written. God has spoken. I'm hearing His Word. Not what He said, but what He's saying. What He's saying. What He's saying over my life right now. It's not going to change. It's never going to change. Father, in Jesus' name, I just thank You again for Your precious people here today. And I pray Your blessing. Seal up this word in hearts today, I pray. Let it be a word of encouragement, of change, Lord, of increase. A word that profits us today. Let this word, Lord, not let it become, Lord, this is a word of a prophet with a PH, Lord, to bring us a prophet with an F. Lord, let that word be profitable to us today, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Amen.